Hello and welcome to another edition of Basketball. I'm Sean Woodley.
I'm Katie Heindel.
And today's show is brought to you by Rasheed Wallace, who on this day in 2021 is probably grinding tape, Katie, because guess what? Our boy, Rasheed Wallace, is now a basketball head coach for, let me look it up, it's a very long name of the academy, it is the NC, North Carolina Good, Better, Best Academy Basketball. And Rasheed Wallace yesterday was named the head coach there. Shout out to our boy Rob Senta for sending in the note and the breaking news to us. This is very exciting. We got Coach Sheed, Katie.
Also, we've got our first like present day Sheed moment for our retrospect. Yeah. But it's okay. Yeah. It's a pretty powerful moment. I was so happy when I got this news yesterday in the midst of just like all the trash coaching news I didn't want to hear about. And you know, this was the only, I was like, this is, I can remember the last time we've gotten like basketball coaching news and it's felt like joyful and deserved.
Yeah.
And it did.
Yeah. Very cool stuff. The fact that he's going to be coaching like an AAU program is very nice. You know, imparting the wisdom of how much refs suck upon the next generation of players, and among other things. It's very, very exciting. So congrats to Sheed. And hopefully, one day we'll get Coach Sheed on the podcast, Katie. I'm committing to this. This will be maybe the last episode ever of the show. We'll find a way to loop him in and coerce him into joining us on the podcast. So do you have that to look forward to?
It would be the only appropriate way to end it. It's true.
Yeah, really. And, you know, honestly, like we could just go along not really having a plan for when the show ends. And then all of a sudden she DMs us, is like, hey, guys, I heard your podcast. I love it. Can I come on? You know, we didn't plan on ending the show, but after we have Sheed on, I mean, it's the only thing we can do, I think, is just tie it there because we're never going to match that. Either way, that's for future Sean and Katie to worry about. Now we just get to bask in the glow of Rasheed Wallace being head coach. Katie, we have a lot to get to today. Before we get to that, though, how you doing? How was your week?
Week was good. Week was fast. Yeah. But I'm doing all right, man.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear. I've been really enjoying the late NBA games. I haven't really watched much of the Eastern Conference, usually just because I'm like watching shows with my future wife. And I don't like to be like, hey, we've been having fun watching Taskmaster, but we should probably switch to basketball now. So I usually just wait till she goes to bed and then I'll watch late games. And it's delightful because the Western Conference has been awesome. And I'm really, really digging the hoops in a way that I haven't all season long. Still plenty of gross things going on, plenty of fans being dipshits and all of that. And still a lot of like uncanny valley, weird, bizarro things taking place as the pandemic still kind of clings on here. But yeah, it's a nice week. The weather's been good, going for bike rides and stuff. I've lost some weight. It's feeling great, Katie. It's things are turning around, it feels like, a little bit, at least with my mood. Katie, we have a lot to get to today, mostly the Boston Celtics, because they've been doing some stuff. They got washed out of the playoffs by the Nets, and their entire front office is now different or not different at all, depending on how you view it. We'll get to that in our headline segment. And because of the controversy that happened earlier in the week with Kyrie Irving and Lucky the Leprechaun, the poor defenseless drawing who got stepped on by Kyrie, we got a mascot theory lined up. Whenever a mascot's in the news, we got to dive in. And Lucky the Leprechaun is the lucky subject of this week's educational middle segment. We've also got a segment we're trying out this week that is all built around the idea of taking a bow in front of the New York crowd. We got a Broadway theme segment coming up, inspired by Trae Young and his absolute punking of the New York Knicks on their home soil, and the bow he took at the very end of the game. So we'll get to that later on in the podcast as well. Before we get into the headlines and talk about the Celtics and the ongoing playoffs, just a reminder, you can go to patreon.com/abasketball with two H's and you can join our Patreon community. You get mailbag episodes, Discord access, you know, first access to things like trivia nights and things like that, which we should probably do one of those sometime soon here. Maybe once the playoffs are over and things kind of chill. But yeah, it's a wonderful place to be. We love you very much. It's only $4 US, $5.50 Canadian to get on in. And we would love you forever and forever be indebted to you if you would support us with that monthly little contribution to our little podcast. Again, patreon.com/abasketball with two H's. That'll do it for the preamble. Let's get into the headlines, Katie. We have a bunch of stuff to get into, mostly relating to the team that is green, the Boston Celtics, coming up in just 1 second. All right, it's the headline segment here on basketball? What was that? my body just got taken over. Katie, the Boston Celtics are getting taken over by something new, or again, not new, kind of the same, just a younger version of what they had before, I suppose. Danny Ainge announced yesterday after the Celtics lost in five to the Brooklyn Nets that he is quote-unquote retiring, although maybe not. We'll get to that. Brad Stevens, also no longer the head coach of the Boston Celtics, he's moving upstairs to become the executive despite literally no executive experience on his resume, and now the head coaching vacancy for the Boston Celtics remains open, sure to be filled by like Bill Simmons or something like that at this rate. But Katie, lots going down in Boston yesterday after their loss to the Nets, which is not like a surprise. The Nets are very good. The Celtics didn't have Jaylen Brown and are not very good. It's not like it was some sort of cataclysm for Boston, but disappointing year altogether. Pandemic, all that stuff, and now there's a big shakeup going down with the Celtics. What are your thoughts on this whole situation?
I think it was really unnecessary what the Celtics did. I think like Brad Stevens has lost the locker room. We kind of knew that. We had a sense of that. We heard rumors about that. I have some inside sources that told me the same thing. But this happened like mid-season. And if you lose the locker room because you don't necessarily like the day-to-day, I don't know, necessities of like communicating and building a rapport and maintaining a relationship with your team, why are you getting closer to the team in the like necessary day-to-day operations, not just of like the current team, but like how you're going to form a future team, all the decisions that go into that, like there's no logic to me. I also have this feeling that like in a year, Stevens is just going to be like, I miss coaching, you know, like, I don't know. It's like when you hate something, you want to get away from it. You don't want to get closer to it unless you're like sociopathic.
Yeah, there's so many different things to digest here. And the Stevens one is one of the more infuriating parts of it, honestly. Like, it just goes in line with the conversation we've been having about coaching, but this applies to front offices as well, of people just like getting jobs because they're there and, you know, they're not really being full vetted interview processes. And Brad Stevens, just because he wants to, because he's quote unquote sick of coaching and burnt out by coaching, you know, okay, yeah, no, you just get the bigger job, the more important job, the job that defines the direction of the team, even though you've never done this before. You know, it just speaks to the bad hiring practices on all levels in the NBA, and also just seems like a bad hire if you're the Celtics trying to win basketball games. Like you said, you know, it's a little bizarre. And look, I hope Brad Stevens is okay mental health wise and everything. It seemed like this was a pretty grating season for him, and that's all totally understandable and fair because this was a grating season for everybody, and you'd be a little bit suspect to me if this season didn't weigh on you in some way. But the way Stevens said, you know, the reporting suggests that he's kind of burnt out, like going to a more high stress job, like maybe not with the day to day and the travel and everything, but like you have the entire direction of the Boston Celtics now in your hands. That seems like maybe not the way to fight burnout. But also it just seems like more so the Celtics are setting themselves up for some really whack personnel decisions. I can't remember who made this point yesterday, but I totally agree with it. You know, the idea that after spending however long, like what is it, 7 years, 8 years coaching the Celtics, Now he's going to go to the front office where you have to make kind of ghoulish decisions at times about players. And like, he's got these relationships that have been around for years with these guys. I mean, Marcus Smart's been only coached by Brad Stevens, I think. And Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, they're not exactly new to the league. They're 5 years in each. So it just seems like you're asking yourself, like you're setting yourself up to really not be able to make the hard decisions you have to make as a front office person. And maybe those decisions aren't actually needed to be made. Maybe the Celtics are just fine and we'll figure things out next year in a normal season. And he doesn't have to sort of make big personnel decisions about the direction of the team. But it just seems like a very strange sort of split sort of intentions, split priorities type thing to move a guy who was a coach who has these deep connections up to the front office where, you know, think of Moneyball, for example. You don't want to have those good connections with players because you have to trade them and you have to release them and all that stuff. So it's very bizarre, Katie.
From what I understand, he doesn't actually have like close relationships with players. So I don't think it will be difficult for him to like make hard decisions and make cuts. Sure. I think the thing that like grates on me most about this move by like Ainge as well as Brad Stevens is like they've just kind of shifted the entire focus of the team onto themselves, whereas like the Boston Celtics are fine. Like they're a very good team. I don't believe like, you know, the narrative around Kemba Walker being like finished. I just think like you got to give that guy a better season, not to like fight uphill on like a bum knee and like a busted hip, or like, you know, he's had so many setbacks this season, and like what a season to have those setbacks in. Of course he's not like playing to his full capacity, you know, like I don't know, like you have Tatum who basically needs to like jumpstart his lungs every game because he has long COVID, and no one will just say that, like no one will say the quiet part loud, which I think they should, you know. Like Jaylen Brown had like, I didn't even know that he was like significantly injured, and then he got injured again because he like collided in game with Tatum like at the beginning of May. Anyway, and then he was like, but he was like already hurt and then out for the season for like a different injury. So they just have had all these like bad luck things kind of overshadowing what is like still a very effective, good team that like isn't really even in need of that much development, as much as I think they're in need of just a leader or a good coach to kind of like still bring the best out of them, especially, you know, looking ahead to next season and what like where they're going to need to start from. But like there's not that much here to fix. So the shakeup move just feels to me like this fear that the Boston Celtics might like drop out of the narrative for a second, you know, just like making the most noise possible, really, for no particular reason. And that's frustrating to me because I feel like you're doing that at the expense of your players. You're not even really addressing what went wrong with them or for them this season. You're just like, okay, Brad Stevens, fail upward into this job you don't really even want, but you're too lazy to look elsewhere to get, you know? And like Ainge, yeah, maybe he's retiring, but also like maybe he's going to Utah, like if that rumor can be true. So I don't really believe it for a second. I just like, I think that's kind of a saving face thing. Like he maybe saw like his star was on the decline. Like there've been some pretty troubling, like he said like troubling shit, I'm sure, his whole tenure with the Celtics, but it's coming out now in a different way. So like, where's he going to go? Of course he's going to go to Utah. They love that kind of shit there. They love that kind of shit in Boston. But like when your players are some of the most vocal and outspoken, like necessarily outspoken players in the league, it's like starting to jar, you know, like it doesn't mesh as well as maybe it used to. So I don't know, like this to me was like, would have been a great season for some deep reflection for the Celtics, but otherwise like not like earth shaking moves. But they kind of like shirked that for what to me is almost like a vanity move.
Yeah, I mean, you're totally right in that they're just fine. I mean, they'd made three of the previous four conference finals. The fact that they made the bubble conference finals probably informs in part why they struggled so much this year, because the offseason was extremely short. The turnaround was nothing. And we've seen all of those teams have varying degrees of success and injury and all of that stuff. And none of them look like they were in the bubble, except maybe the Nuggets, even though Jamal Murray's out, but Jokic is a monster. But yeah, like it's totally understandable. It's very kind of akin to the Raptors season in a lot of ways. They didn't have like the full, you know, mass missing three to eight guys at various times, all with COVID, but you know, it was a steady thing throughout the year. You mentioned the Jason Tatum thing and the inhalers he has to take and the, you know, the long-term effects of COVID that he's dealt with, the fact that Kemba was hurt, the fact that Marcus Smart missed a ton of time, the fact that they like just, you know, it just never came together in an entirely reasonable and understandable way. So yeah, it is weird that there's like a big upheaval going on in the front office. It does to me kind of feel like Danny Ainge, like you said, he's kind of realizing his star is burning out a little bit. He had the idiotic comments last week about how in his 26 years, he's never seen racism from Boston fans. Like, okay, dude, way to read the room and also way to be disingenuous. And maybe that coupled with the fact that they just got spanked by the team that he was, you know, deemed to have like fleeced back in 2013, and you know that now they're successful before and like on the track to win a title before the Celtics ever could from that trade. Maybe all that kind of plays into it as well. And it's just like, you know what, I'm going to get out here before it gets real bad for me. There's kind of like self-preservation to it a little bit. It's all very bizarre. And, you know, I don't think Danny Ainge has done a great job necessarily. He made that trade, sure, but also he's not exactly killed it in the draft and building a team around Tatum and Brown. And, you know, probably deserved to have his job lost, and not even by his own accord, really. Now Brad Stevens gets to assume it, and it's just like it does feel like it will likely be more of the same. I don't know. We should probably get into the rumors that they might be looking at Jason Kidd to coach the team, hated enemy of the podcast, who sucks and continues to pop up in coaching vacancies for no real apparent reason other than the fact that he's Jason Kidd. Katie, what were your thoughts when that came across? I mean, you could not possibly make a more detestable hire by a more detestable franchise if you're the Celtics. Like, they can't be that stupid, right?
I mean, they could be, but I guess like my thoughts are just like, I'm so sick of arguing like against Jason Kidd. Like, they're so right now, like, you know, I wrote this yesterday, but like I feel like his track record for kind of swooping in like a vulture to teams in disarray, you know, or like disrepair or whatever states of false rebuild they're in is a better track record than like his coaching record has ever been. You know, like that's like now what his preeminent skill is. So I don't know. I don't know why his name keeps kind of getting touted. Like if it's like some of the Lakers kind of gloss rubbing off on him, maybe, especially to a team like the Celtics, who obviously loves optics. Maybe that's why it makes sense, but it kind of ends there for me. You know, There's like his coaching capabilities, when we have seen them, would actually, I think, be pretty ruinous to a team like the Celtics. You know, I don't think they would.
He's an actively shitty coach. He was like deemed like the worst coach in basketball when he was coaching last. Not to mention he's a domestic abusing garbage person. Like, God.
Yeah. So I think, I don't know. Like, It's also kind of exhausting because I think we're past the point where like I don't want to say anymore who's deserving of these because like basically I don't know, maybe one of the last coaching hires in the last like this season at least to me seems deserving, but most of the reshuffling is just from this like shrinking pool that never like reaches to include coaches on the outside of it. I don't know. It's really like, it's just incestuous at this point, honestly. It's gross.
And I can't imagine like Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, like they deserve a coach who is like fucking with it. I don't know. Is there like I don't know. I do wonder how this is going to sort of dictate like the future of Brown and Tatum. You know, obviously they're locked in long term, like they're very early in their new contracts and whatnot. So it's not like they're going to go and, you know, force a trade with 4 years left in their deals. But, you know, every year you waste when you're Boston, you know, you're not exactly like a free agent hub. Yes, they've gotten some recently, but it's not really their calling card. you know, every year you waste of Tatum and Brown, and, you know, who knows what the shuffling goes on next year. Maybe it's another year of sort of adjustment and figuring things out with whatever the new coach is. You know, every year you waste is like huge. And we've seen how like short windows are in the NBA and how fragile all of it is. And all it takes is one of those guys saying, you know what? Fuck this, man. I'm sick of like Trader Danny not doing shit. And Brad Stevens now, who we didn't like as a head coach, you know, running the show. And, you know, whoever the hire might be, if it is Jason Kidd, I could see people getting real tired of that real quick too. It's just, how the mighty have fallen, even though in theory they're just fine, but they are kind of teetering, I think, on maybe not being fine if they don't get this next set of hires correct. And I don't think they're off to a great start with Brad Stevens. We're going to talk more about the Celtics in the middle segment. We're going to talk about the poor, poor leprechaun who got his face mashed. And we'll dig into that in mascot theory. But we should talk about the other NBA playoff stuff right now, Katie. Still going on. Both LA teams are on the verge of elimination tonight and tomorrow night. The Blazers and Nuggets series continues to go on, and it has been one of the most delightful series I've ever seen. Let's start with the LA teams, Katie. The Clippers go down 3-2 last night. The Lakers look real ragged. They got blown out by the Suns a couple nights ago as well. Anthony Davis doesn't look right. LeBron doesn't really look right. The Clippers look like the Clippers, which is inherently not looking right. Are you relishing the idea of both of the LA teams getting booted in the first round?
I mean, I wasn't like against either of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have any like personal vendettas there. I guess it's weird to kind of feel, it is weird to feel sad for the Lakers, but I think for a team that sort of escaped unscathed from the injuries that kind of plagued the rest of the league, that's catching up with them. And to me, that's a more depressing reality of this season and the impact and like toll it's taken on guys. So I don't really like that. Like, I don't relish that whatsoever.
Sure.
Like, especially with what's happening with AD, I think like, you know, LeBron, I think he said himself, like he was hurt kind of on and off this season. He doesn't feel like he came back from it. I mean, I like the Suns. I'm excited if they, this is kind of, it's weird because like this is kind of what we talked about and what I kind of wanted, but at what cost? And then the Clippers, I don't know. The Clippers, it's like, it's just really harkening back to last season, right? Like they didn't. They haven't appeared to have actually fixed anything.
Yeah. I mean, that series, I detest both like teams in theory, like mostly just through their owners for the most part. And also one of them has a Morris brother on it. So I don't enjoy the Clippers and, you know, all the reasons I don't like the Clippers and root for their failure. You know, that series is so messy in the best kind of way. Last night's game, no one seemed to want to win it. There were like crazy oscillations in the fourth quarter. You know, it's just it's really great. And it's also really wild to see a Clippers team that is so undeniably talented just not seem to really care all that much. Like, you have in crunch time with the chance to, I believe, tie the game, maybe take the lead late in that one last night. Paul George walks up the floor and is just like, I'm just going to pass this to Terrence Mann on the wing. And then things go horribly awry, as that they should go when your best or second best player says, you know what? Not for me. You know, it's just they're the Clippers. They are their Clippersness is unrelenting, and it's been on full display in this series. The Mavs, I mean, I don't like the Mavs either, and I kind of think they're a little bit fraudulent too in terms of like how deep they can go. They really only have the one trick. That said, the one trick is pretty incredible, and Luka Doncic is ridiculous, and watching him just kind of carry his team has been quite awesome. I will say my one big sort of observation from last night's Clippers Mavs game is Mark Cuban may never reach this level of like insufferable ever again. I think he's really been sort of boosted by the lack of fans and how just like on an island he is with his lunacy. Have you picked up on this, Katie, watching the games in LA where there's still pretty sparse crowds
with Cuban?
Yeah.
No, because, you know, I'm mostly either asleep or watching a different game. With the nights that, like, they've had these games on when the Lakers and Suns are playing, I'm watching. I've watched the Lakers and the Suns, or right. I do my best to stay awake, but I fail.
Well, I guess so. The way I'd liken it, it's kind of like watching Cuban with no fans is sort of like if you were at a concert and then all of a sudden, like the music stopped and they turned the lights on and you were the last person left singing like a lunatic and everyone else was just staring at you. That's kind of what Mark Cuban's given off in terms of his vibe. Like he's just like yelling at nobody. I think he was sitting next to Jamal Mashburn at last night's game and just like, hey, Jamal, you see that? You see that? And he's just like, yep. Uh-huh. Mark, I got it. There's basketball happening. I see. I'm here too. I'm watching it. Yeah, it's just the, you know, this series really is a battle of which owner I want to see be sad. And frankly, I want both to be sad. But if it's Ballmer now and Cuban later, I guess I can make my peace with it. Have you enjoyed any other playoff stuff? I mean, there's been a million games every night. There's been lots of cool things. The Nuggets game, the double OT game a couple nights ago was one of the more fun playoff games I can recall in recent memory with Dame going off and everything. Any other stray playoff observations before we move on here, Katie?
Yeah, it was pretty sad to see the Blazers kind of squander everything Dame did to bring them back.
Yeah.
That sucked. But it was still pretty fun to watch. That was a game where I was watching Lakers Suns, and then I had to scramble over and find myself an illegal stream so I could watch this game that everybody was talking about. I was a little bit sad to see the Grizzlies get bumped. I think I saw it coming, but a part of me also felt like that might have been a closer series, you know, just to be totally honest.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe just like youthful vigor and energy overcoming Rudy Gobert. I thought it could happen. I think we said like that Hawks Knicks series was evenly matched, but it turned out not to be so. So I guess that was kind of surprising. Mm-hmm, I am really looking forward to, and it feels so funny and spoiled to be like, man, ready for the next round when it's like there's still so much. Probably very good and compelling, especially with the series that are left. Close basketball to come, but I am really looking forward to Nets Bucks.
Yeah, that series is going to be off the hook. I'm very excited. I'm not as thrilled for the Sixers Hawks. You know, that'll be fun, but also ultimately I think it's kind of preordained the result. But yeah, the thing in addition to Bucks Nets, I'm also just excited for just some weirdo bizarro like fresh blood matchups out west. Like if both the LA teams lose, we'll be looking at like a Suns and Nuggets second round and then Jazz Mavericks. Like that's pretty fun that one of those four teams would be in the finals for sure. It's a, you know, I'm a big fan of the fresh blood and the weirdo bizarre bracket and the kind of throwing things off with the LA teams not being in there. And it's weird because you mentioned the Lakers thing, and I want LeBron to succeed. I like LeBron. I like him chasing history and all of that. But also, I am so in the tank for Chris Paul and want him to persevere through this shoulder thing so badly and then get some ice and then come back healthy for the next round. It's been surely a dramatic first round, Katie. All of it seems fake. I don't know what to believe. It's, you know, the pandemic season. Who knows what is what? But it's been certainly great for chaos and drama. And as a person who's watching from the outside looking in with no dog in the race, it's been kind of refreshing to not be stressed out every other night during the postseason watching my own team play. And I just get to laugh at the misfortune of others. Let's pivot into our mascot theory segment, Katie. We got a lot of Lucky the Leprechaun talk. Of course, he was defiled this week. The poor leprechaun, the poor drawing of a leprechaun, just having his face stomped all over by Kyrie Irving. The disrespect, I say. We're going to dig into Lucky the Leprechaun and his backstory, his origins, all that led up to his death, frankly, at the hands of Kyrie Irving over the weekend. We'll get to that in 1 second here on the podcast. All right, Katie, we have reached the mascot theory segment. Of course, whenever a mascot is in the news, we like to dive into their roots, where they came from, where they're going, and we have to do it this week with Lucky the Leprechaun, mostly kind of known for his visage in the Celtics logo. We'll get into other interpretations of Lucky down the line. But Katie, of course, the story that prompts this segment is Kyrie Irving, after playing in Boston, I believe game four, stepped on the logo afterwards, the little smudge with his foot on the face of old poor Lucky. Subsequently had a bottle thrown at him by a dipshit Boston fan who has since been arrested and charged, which is very good. Please stop with the fucking fan madness, please. Like, any time now would be great. But of course, the controversy afterwards was with the logo and Kyrie's blatant disrespect for the drawing of a cartoon Irishman. And do you have any feelings on this, Katie? Do you feel for the poor drawing, the leprechaun who had his whole existence kind of thrown for a loop by Kyrie Irving's blatant disrespect?
So I kind of missed when this turned serious because I was recording a show when it happened, and then sort of drifted. And then by the time I woke up the next morning, there were actual, like, sincerely offended people. Yeah. People that were really calling into question, like, I don't know, like, Kyrie's moral character, which to me is just, like, outrageous. And another one of these things where it's like, well, why? Like, I wish we didn't talk. Like, we as a species to stoop so low to, like, talk about things like this. No, just incredibly dumb. Incredibly dumb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, the earnest Boston takes about the disrespect and what the logo means. I mean, you would expect nothing less, I suppose, from lunatic Boston fans, but... what are we talking about here? It's a drawing on the court. You know who steps on the drawing is every player hundreds of times a game. So with that in mind, Katie, you know, we have to understand Lucky the Leprechaun to understand where he and Boston are coming from in their defense of him after this great injustice by Kyrie Irving. So we're going to dig into his history here a little bit. I'm not sure. Do you have much of a deep, you know, seated knowledge of the history and the roots of Lucky the Leprechaun, Katie?
No, nothing.
Okay, great. Then we're going to regale you right now. Lots of fun little weird trivia bits with this stupid mascot. So I'm on sportsmascots.com right now. Of course, the leading authority on mascots in professional sports. And they have an article about Lucky the Leprechaun and his origins. So you may not know this, but Lucky the Leprechaun was designed by the brother of Red Auerbach, Zhang Auerbach, back in the 1940s. The logo was designed. There was a slight alteration in the 60s, but more or less, they've had the same logo of Lucky the Leprechaun.
The popcorn guy?
The popcorn guy? Orville, yeah. Redenbacher? Isn't that,
oh, different guy.
Anyway, yeah, Orville Auerbacher, Red Auerbach's brother, designed it back in the 40s. It has existed pretty much in the same form ever since. In 2003, Lucky was introduced as a mascot by Celtics management, and the mascot is just a person wearing an Irish bowler cap and, like, a vest. It's a pretty half-assed mascot. It's not, any sort of plush costume, which we'll get to our thoughts on that in a sec here. It was originally played by Damon Lee Blust, who left in 2009, since has been worn and performed by Christopher Kit Ackerman, performing as Lucky at Celtics games, tossing out hoagies and whatever the hell people toss out at these Celtics games. I'm not sure. On this site, it says that the mascot appears to be a bringer of good luck, as the Celtics are the most successful NBA team in history. Impressive. I'm just reading verbatim here. He's also apparently been tattooed on a number of the Celtics' biggest stars throughout history as sort of a good luck charm as well. It says here he's a fan of Lucky Charms, duh, and his favorite number is not 7 or 13, but it's 18, as it stands for the number of championships the Celtics have won. He also spends a lot of time touring local schools and working on health and fitness programs for the youth of today. I guess my main question here, Katie, is this is a very unique mascot in the NBA, at least the sort of physical manifestation, not the drawing of a logo. Without a plush costume, do you think this is actually a mascot? Does it qualify as a mascot? And if, you know, do you think the lack of a plush mascot is negatively affecting the Celtics in any way?
First of all, I would never take health advice from like a miniature grifter like this. health or wellness advice, you know, yeah. This smarmy little creature. I guess it's weird because it's just a man.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not even like G-Man or Thunder, the old Warriors mascot either, where it's like someone in like a morph suit. It's just a dude wearing like, it looks like he's just out for St. Patrick's Day in Boston.
Yeah, there are just dudes that dress like this on the reg, not even on St. Patrick's Day. And like mostly problematic dudes you don't want to be around. So yeah, I think it's to me like more, like there are definitely frightening mascots, but this is like more off-putting to me.
Yeah, this is, I would frankly put this up there as being more off-putting than King Cake Baby, honestly.
I wouldn't go that far.
Just a regular Bostonian running around. Like, yeah, it's a very just half-assed mascot. You know, I'd expect nothing less from the Celtics. Do you think the Celtics sort of view themselves as too important and like historically, you know, significant to have to like stoop down to the level of having a plush mascot? Because we know that there are other teams that, you know, go mascotless as well. The Knicks, the Lakers, I believe, are the two that don't have them right now. And, you know, that does maybe seem like, oh, we're big market, we don't need a mascot. That's for small market simpletons. That kind of is the read on this to me. Do you think the Celtics view themselves with such importance?
Like, it's strange that out of, like, the reason those teams don't have them is because they're just kind of these storied, like, existed pre-mascot teams, never thought to add one because they never really needed one, right? Mm-hmm. So, to me, like, adding a mascot, you're trying to maybe be more likable. But then you fail really badly at it because you just have a man.
I also really hate how they don't have the mystique of like, oh, who's behind the mask? Who's in the suit? I mean, that's been sort of a running thing with the Raptor in Toronto forever, which is, you know, oh, man, like who the hell is in? Like, it's the same guy as they started with, but who the hell is it? Nobody knows, you know, to just know it. Oh, that's the guy who's the mascot. It just feels like a kind of like, what's the point of even having one, honestly? He did, of course, in 2019, famously injure himself just before the pandemic hit, actually, during his dunk routine for the Celtics. He rolled his ankle pretty difficultly. He missed quite a bit of time with it. Not the first mascot to severely injure themselves, of course, in the line of duty. But, you know, do you think maybe the sign that could have been a sign like, okay, you know, you can't even dunk acrobatically without injuring yourself. Maybe this is a time to change things up. Do you think Brad Stevens, in his new powers as the president of basketball ops, will opt to look for a more sort of traditional plush style mascot?
I don't know that I'll equate this to Brad. I do actually wonder if like the timing of when they like, it's crazy to me that it was 2003. Like that seems so late. Yeah. But not so late that like you couldn't still introduce like a cool plush mascot, you know, like Gritty being the probably most notable mascot into mascot canon in recent years. And like Gritty's now forever. So I think to me, it just seems kind of half baked. They were just like, nah, what do we need? Or like maybe the original guy was like friends with somebody or like somebody's weird nephew or something and they threw him a bone.
Another sort of interesting thing is when you Google list of NBA mascots, you know how you get like the sort of image bar across the top where you can scroll across. Every team has a mascot and we see their visage. We see them in action, usually dunking, all in their plush outfits. The image that comes up when you go to the Boston Celtics is just the Lucky Charms mascot, which is, I think, an indictment of your mascot quality. If your first image search is a different mascot for a different thing, who is also called Lucky the Leprechaun, speaking to the half-baked nature of it. You know, if Boston were to adopt a new mascot, say goodbye to Lucky now that he's been deceased at the hands of Kyrie Irving. and, you know, maybe even change their logo entirely. They stay the Celtics, but like if we're thinking of like traditional mascots for them to up their game, maybe this is Brad Stevens' top priority to change up the vibe in the locker room. I don't know. What do you think that mascot should look like? Do you think it should just be a large leprechaun with a soft skin, or should it be some other Boston themed thing? Just like a walking bowl of chowder, perhaps.
Yeah, or like some tea.
Yeah. Just a large ranting teacup.
I was going to say, like, you could kind of have an anthropomorphic clover, because I don't think there are any plant-based mascots.
There are none.
But it just doesn't seem stylistically like you could make it that tough or cool looking. Maybe just like some big green monster, like some big green shaggy thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me see.
What about Oscar the Grouch?
I mean, it would work. It would match the personality of that team as well. The Boston Red Sox do have a mascot named Wally the Green Monster, obviously named after the Green Monster at Fenway Park. Perhaps he could pull double duty. He kind of looks like Grover and Elmo, but large and green. So maybe that's an option. You can kind of pull double duty. The seasons kind of don't align necessarily. You could just have Wally be working all season long, all year round. Does that work for you, or do you need something a little bit more sort of defined than just a green amorphous monster?
Why don't they just make like a plush leprechaun?
Yeah.
Or get
and there
a
could
Nixon
be some terror
mask
with that too.
And give that to the guy who's doing it now. Because Lucky really, that's one thing people seem to gloss over. He just looks like Nixon.
Yeah, I had this thought over the weekend, and I forgot to mention it to anybody, but you're right. It looks exactly like fucking Richard Nixon. It looks like in Futurama, Richard Nixon's head, like almost identical. So, yeah, just having a little Nixon action going in there. He wasn't a Massachusetts guy, I guess, but who cares, really? Yeah, that's a good point. Anyway, I think we've established the Celtics need a mascot that is more befitting of an NBA team. Like, they're really just kind of rolling out with like a G League level aesthetic here, or even less. I don't want to denigrate the G League. This is an embarrassing mascot. The Celtics, I don't think are going to have sustained success until they figure this shit out and get themselves someone a little bit more robust and entertaining than old Lucky. Sorry to the actor Kit Ackerman. I'm not trying to have him lose your job, but hey, just put Kit into a different suit. That could totally work as well, assuming his ankle is fully healed. Do you have any lingering thoughts on the Celtics mascot situation here, Katie, before we move on?
No, none.
No? Okay.
You spent too long on it already.
All right, well, let's continue on here then, Katie, and dive into our segment we're trying out this week, where we are going to go to Broadway and draw some inspiration from Trey Young and his performance at MSG over the course of the last week or two. That's coming up in just 1 second. Alright, we have reached the segment we're trying out this week, and this week we're taking some inspiration from Trey Young, who put on an absolute show at MSG over the course of the first round last night, taking down the New York Knicks in 5 games with another 30-plus point effort, and really kind of leaning into the heel in a way we haven't seen in a very long time in New York. We haven't had the opportunity to see it because they've been in the playoffs like once since Reggie Miller was haunting Spike Lee back in the 90s. It was really nice to see a new MSG villain born. We're going to dive into a segment built off of his very theatrical bow at the end of Game 5 last night. But Katie, first I want to get your thoughts on Trey Young embracing the role of heel in the first round against the Knicks at MSG.
Didn't we talk about this last week? I think we did.
We talked about him getting spit on. We didn't talk about the fun stuff where he's
just
kind of
embraced it. I think you said you enjoyed it. You're like enjoying it the series very much because of his villainy. But yeah, it's cool. I like that he really like ended it with a flourish. He really leaned into it.
Yeah. My favorite part of it was the fact that Reggie Miller was on the call last night. And so like they were running clips of Reggie Miller tormenting Spike Lee on the sidelines next to Trae Young doing the similar thing. It was great. Maybe we have talked about this before and I'm just forgetting, but that's fine because we have a segment to get into as well. And Katie, you brought this idea to the table. So I will let you explain what we're doing here in the segment we're trying out this week.
Well, I feel like it is pretty straightforward, but based on what Trey delivered to the Garden, we are going to take a look at which NBA current like playoff players should be cast in leading roles on Broadway, because that's who Trey said he was paying homage to.
Beautiful stuff. So let's get started here, Katie. We've assembled a list of some of our favorite musicals. I'll say I'm not a huge musical person. I have not seen a lot of them in person. I like to watch the movies of them. They're pretty fun. I dig them. But we'll run through a good handful here and we'll assign players to the leading roles as we have discussed. So first on the list here, I have the most recent musical I saw. I saw this like maybe 2 weeks before the pandemic hit. One of the last things I did in the outside world was see Come From Away, the story of Newfoundland, Gander Newfoundland, and their accepting of all sorts of flights and people on the day of 9/11. Really, really excellent musical. Katie, have you seen Come From Away?
No, I have not.
Highly recommend. It's excellent. The lead character, there's like, it's not really a lead character situation. It's kind of an ensemble cast, but I suppose the lead character is the mayor of Gander, Newfoundland. He kind of is the narrator of the story. He leads a lot of the songs. He's this big, burly, bearded man, really just a salt of the earth fellow out from out on the rock. Who do you think should play the mayor of Gander, Newfoundland and Come From Away, Katie?
Okay, so I didn't really look at this in terms of like actual, I mean, some will have actual characters, but I think some of it is just like the vibe of the production.
Sure.
But based on what you said and also vibe casting, to me, I think it could be Luca, because I feel like one, everyone seems to be obsessed with the fact that he's European all the time. So he literally comes from away. And two, I think he's pretty down to earth dude.
I like it. I did not think of the come from away angle in a literal sense, but I think that's fantastic. You know, Luca has a little bit more of a murderous killer instinct, I would say, than the gregarious, lovely mayor of Gander, Newfoundland. But yeah, he is a beloved player. He is kind of putting the city on his back the way the mayor did in the Gander situation. So yeah, I think that checks out wonderfully. Let's move on to the next one on the list here, Katie. I've written Cats, which people clown, and justifiably, the movie is whack. It's also one of my favorite movies of the 21st century, and I will watch it all the time. recently even watched the butthole cut of Cats, where before they CGI'd out all the cat butts that they left in for the original cut. That's fine. I'm not sick. It's cool. Cats, Katie. This is sort of, again, another ensemble cast, not really a main character necessarily, but in terms of the general vibe, to be the lead cat, the lead of the Jellicles, if you will, who do you have as fitting in nicely to a role in Cats?
I got to get it out there that I hate, absolutely hate a musical movie, like a remake.
Okay.
I'm just like not a fan. I will never watch Cats. It's just not interesting to me. There's something like so grating, even when like movies employ music heavily. Never seen La La Land. Do not plan on it. But as a child, I did really enjoy a musical. I think the production aspect of it, going to a theater, that was pretty cool. But I've never actually seen Cats, though I think I would have really liked it as a child. That said, I'm going to cast Campaign just because of the way that he can contort his fingers, hands, arms, legs into very feline-esque poses. Yeah, that's it.
I like it. I think for me, I'm going to go with, you know, the Cats movie is full of a lot of actors who are kind of hanging on a little bit. You know, Judi Dench near the end of her career. Ian McKellen's in it. Idris Elba, for some reason, decided to be in it. For what reason, I don't know. But I think, you know, beloved folks who maybe aren't quite at the peak of their powers in their performance, I'm going to go with Carmelo Anthony, who's still, you know, doing the thing, but maybe is not what he used to be. Of course he couldn't be. He's like 36 now, but he's still kind of making that cameo appearance in all these big Blazers games. He is the equivalent of Judi Dench in Cats, I think. Although I will say, Judi Dench and Cats, one of the worst performances I've ever seen in the history of film. I'm not suggesting that Carmelo Anthony is performing terribly, but similar kind of vibe of an old hanger-on just kind of, you know, riding out the string, making a check and trying their best. So yeah, I'm going Judi Dench and Carmelo kind of as the corollary there. We move on to Chicago. Another thing I've only seen in movie form because I'm a plebe. Katie, thoughts on Chicago? Thoughts on who should lead the way? Either playing, I guess, Renee Zellweger's character in the movie, the sort of the lead, like the person accused of murder, or I don't know, the guy who plays Dominic West, I suppose, gets killed early on. I don't really know the character names very well of Chicago. Who do you got?
Never seen it, but Anthony Davis is from Chicago, so I think he would do a bang up job in any role.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to have like Jim Boylan in it somehow. You know, maybe he's the one who's killed off the top and is the subject of the murder trial. I don't know, but yeah, Anthony Davis I think is a good call. I'm also trying to think of, you know, someone who has the spirit of Richard Gere, because Richard Gere is you know, the lead prosecutor, I believe, or the defense lawyer, I think, in the case in Chicago. I'm really talking out of my ass when it comes to Chicago. But, you know, handsome, kind of gregarious, can sort of carry the scene on his own. And I think Anthony Davis, see, I don't know if he can carry the scene on his own the way Richard Gere can. So maybe I would go closer to LeBron. But Anthony Davis, because of the Chicago connections, I also think is a great pick. Let's move on to The Sound of Music. One of my faves. I've seen this one in person before. It was excellent. I saw it actually not long before the pandemic as well. I had a big musical year before the pandemic hit. Katie, are you a Sound of Music person?
No. But people think I should be because of my heritage.
Right.
But, maybe that's why I reject it.
Right. Well, who do you got potentially fill in the role? Maybe this person will take the role and really kind of make you embrace Sound of Music and your Austrian heritage.
Well, it's incredibly earnest, right? It's like an incredibly earnest premise and production.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I feel like CJ McCollum's a pretty good fit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Very earnest guy.
That's a good one. I'm also trying to think of like musically inclined NBA players. And the one who comes to mind is technically not in the playoffs anymore, was technically in the playoffs, although didn't play. I wonder if Victor Oladipo kind of takes on the Christopher Plummer role and is sort of the head of the family, the father with the eight children or however many goddamn kids there are in that family. Maybe that's Victor Oladipo. Do you think he has like the singing chops to carry a leading role like that?
Sure, but he's disqualified from this exercise, this very serious exercise.
I can't think of any other musically inclined players that are currently plying their trade in the playoffs. Am I missing somebody?
I don't know, man.
I guess Dame.
I'm not going to give you two answers.
That's fine. Fair. I guess Dame is another one. That guy's a leading man if there ever was one. That's actually my answer. Dame. He's got the music career going strong. He is the Christopher Plummer in our new production of Sound of Music. At least my new production. You've got CJ McCollum. Also a wonderful pick. Maybe both can be together in the film. How beautiful. We move on to The Lion King, Katie. The Lion King, I've never seen the musical itself. I've heard it's fantastic. Have you seen it in person?
No.
It's something that's like a post-pandemic to-do list thing, I think. But of course, I'm sure you've seen the movie. I'm sure you're familiar with the cast of characters. Do you have someone remaining in the NBA playoffs who you think would be well cast, either as Simba, maybe they're Timon and Pumbaa? Who knows? Get creative with this one. Who do you got as your pick here?
This does just seem pretty obvious because I think it's like, you know, high value production, a lot of star power, you know. So I think to me, it's LeBron.
Interesting. Okay. Like LeBron as Simba and injuries as Scar, perhaps? Is his bum ankle as Scar?
Yeah, because LeBron has really like no natural enemies.
Right.
He's an apex player. Mm-hmm. So sure.
I think I'm going to go with the entire cast of the Brooklyn Nets to take on the Lion King. You know, maybe you get KD as Simba. You get James Harden in there, Zazu perhaps, Kyrie's maybe performing as maybe he's Scar. Who knows? Maybe he's leaning into the heel of it all. I'm not sure. But like, from what I understand, the production of The Lion King with the costumes and the dancing and the choreography is all so beautiful. And it's such an enormous production that it sounds kind of like watching an offensive possession of Brooklyn Nets basketball, where everything just kind of works together and hums. And yeah, I think the Nets are the Lion King. That's and now I want to go see the Lion King even more with these guys in the roles. Let's continue on. Phantom of the Opera. Katie, this is probably the one I've seen the most in movie form. My mother was hopelessly addicted to the Phantom of the Opera for a time in my life. It was her favorite thing in the world. She would watch it like bi-weekly almost, it seemed. Maybe I'm conflating that a little bit in my head, but like it seemed pretty routine that she was tuning into that. I knew all the songs for a while. I knew the sort of dramatic notes of it all. Remember the plot perfectly. I have a strange connection to the Phantom of the Opera. Who do you think would fit in? I guess we're going with who's playing the Phantom here, correct? Who do you got?
It's Chris Paul, without a doubt.
Just brooding, stuck behind the stage for the longest time, unable to emerge, and now is taking the opportunity to, I guess, terrorize the entire opera. Yeah. I think that's a good one. Do you think Chris Paul could wear a mask in these games to like add to the sort of drama of what he's doing in these games?
Oh, yeah. The half mask, the full mask. Like, I think he could. I think he could wear like the cape too, and it really wouldn't get in his way.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is so clear to me.
Yeah, it's a hard one to argue with. I'm with you there for sure. We move on to one that I have seen in person before. I'm not sure if you've seen this one, but We Will Rock You, the Queen musical. Pretty fun, pretty good. I saw it a few times. Again, one my mom loved a lot. I went for a couple of her birthdays, I believe, to go see different productions of it. Have you seen We Will Rock You?
No, I haven't.
It's quite good. Obviously, you need to like Queen music to really dig it, but it's hard not to like Queen music, I would say. We're looking for the Freddie Mercury stand-in. You know, it's not Freddie Mercury in it. I can't remember the name of the character, but it's like a futuristic time where rock and roll music has been taken away from the masses, and a Freddie Mercury stand-in is the lead of the show, trying to bring back the music, baby. Who do you think would fit as the lead of We Will Rock You?
What a weird premise.
Very bizarre. Yeah. the musical, I believe it starts off with Radio Gaga as the lead number, and it does a pretty good job of explaining this strange dystopia we live in where most things are normal except for music. But yeah, point taken. It's very strange. Who do you got as the lead, though?
Well, he already cast himself in this, so just to be true to that, it's Marc Gasol, I think.
Wait, what? Marc Gasol cast himself in We Will Rock You?
No, but don't you remember last summer when he had the pictures of himself dressed up as Freddie Mercury?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yep. You're right. I'm looking at the picture now. Oh, your tweet is the number two image. When you look up Marc Gasol, We Will Rock You, your tweet with the picture is the number two thing that comes up. Congratulations on the SEO, Katie. Fantastic work. Yeah, this kind of seems right. You know, he's moving into the future, bringing back the ways of the old reliable center as the Lakers slip into further dysfunction and dystopia. I like it. play Marcus Gasol more. I think that's our weekly rallying cry on the podcast, and we'll do it again. That's all the musicals I have listed here, Katie, but do you have any other ones you'd like to throw in here as quick hitters at the end?
No, not really. No.
I will throw in one last one. Okay. Legally Blonde, which is the only one I've actually seen on Broadway before. Surprisingly, very good. I was there for my like grade 10 music class trip. Legally Blonde was the Broadway musical we got tickets to see. And some of the songs are still stuck in my head from 12 years ago. It's pretty good. It's full of earworms. It's well done. Who do you think plays Elle Woods in the Legally Blonde Broadway remake with the NBA?
No way, dude. This is all you. I have no answer. I've never I have no comparison point, so.
Fair enough. You have someone who's kind of underestimated, somebody who is a victim of the system, who is suppressed by misogyny. Boy, current, still in the Ben Simmons, maybe like operating in a system that is built for shooting, but he's saying, you know what? Screw that. I'm going to make it work for me and I'm going to do me and I'm not going to, fall into what the world wants of me. So I'm going to go Ben Simmons, who just punched the Sixers ticket into the next round. Good job, Ben Simmons. That's my pick for Legally Blonde. That's going to wrap up the NBA Broadway segment here for this week, Katie. We move into our posters of the week. I had one, and I lost it, and I can't remember. So I'm just going to go Marc Gasol as Freddie Mercury as my poster of the week, considering we brought that up once again on the show. Is it a cop-out? Yes. Have I failed this week in the segment? Absolutely. But that's where I'm going, and I'm going Marc Gasol as Freddie Mercury with a shout-out to you with your highly ranking position on Google Images for Marc Gasol. Katie, over to you.
Well, that's a real blatant cop out, but
absolutely is. It's embarrassing.
All right. Mine is Fred VanVleet. He seemingly is on vacation. Good for him. He was like wading out into the ocean. He lifted up a giant starfish and was just holding it out to the camera. I think he's wearing like a straw hat, sunglasses, looks like more serious than the moment called for, but I like it.
Yeah, that was a good image. That's now two Toronto Raptors in recent years seen plucking starfish from the sea, which is a nice thing. Pascal Siakam, of course, did that recently. That's a great one. Love starfish content. Love summer vacation watch. I can't wait for you to start that back up again, Katie. It's long awaited and anticipated. That's going to do it for today's show. We are here at the end. Katie, do you have anything you'd like to promote before we get the hell out of here?
Sure. I'm writing a series on basketball feelings called Exits, about playoff exits as they happen. So I've got to write like three now because three exits happen in one day. But you can find that on the Basketball Feelings Substack.
Outstanding. On my end, you can listen to Locked On Raptors. Katie was on today's episode of the podcast. We talked about Kyle Lowry. Also, I want to alert people to a thing that's going on that is going to be very cool. On June 22nd, I'll be hosting a live Locked On Raptors draft lottery watch party from 7:30 till probably about 9 or even 9:30, depending on how long the post lottery results stuff goes. We're going to do some Q&A, going to be some fun guests. Katie's going to be there. And the way you get in is by DMing me a receipt for a donation of $25 or more to one of the Indian Residential School Survivor Society or the Islamic Relief Palestine Emergency Fund. If you want to donate to both, even better. If you send me a receipt of your donation of $25 or more, you will get into you'll get on my list of people I'll be sending the password for the Zoom to. And I really, really hope that you do it. It's going to be a ton of fun, and we're raising a ton of money for very important causes right now. So that's where I will leave my promotion, and we'll get to the end of the podcast. A huge thank you, as always, to the Stringer family. We love everybody over here who helps us do this podcast, lets us do this podcast. Huge thank you, as always, to producer Dylan for making us sound great, despite some technical difficulties on my end. I know this is going to sound awesome because Dylan is the king. And lastly, want a huge welcome back to Jess, our social media producer. Yay! She's back with us. Going to be doing some wonderful social for us, and we're very happy to have her back on the podcast and with our little family here. So welcome back to Jess. Thanks to Dylan. Thanks to you, Katie. It was lovely chatting with you, and we will talk to you again next week with another episode of Basketball?